Welcome to Light in the Land, where we illuminate the Bible within the context of the land of Israel. Each week, we uniquely dive into biblical passages using archaeology, history, geography, customs and culture of the biblical period, and the Hebraic background of Jesus, guiding you along ancient paths and into biblical towns and landscapes is Dr. John DeLancey. He serves as the founder and director of Biblical Israel Ministries and Tours, and has led over 90 Israel study trips to date, as well as participated in many archaeological digs. We pray this program connects you to the land, deepens your understanding of the Bible, and inspires your walk of faith in Christ.
When one goes to Israel and visits biblical sites, can we for sure say that we're walking in the footsteps of Jesus? Can we literally retrace the life and ministry of Jesus at various sites in the Galilee, in Jerusalem? What can be said about opening the Bible, the text of the Gospels, and reading about what Jesus did in the very location where it actually happened? These are questions that we're going to answer today in this episode of Light in the Land. This is episode number 44, and we're going to visit one particular site to give us a few examples of, yes, we can walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Yes, indeed, we can see ruins that date to the time of Jesus. And we'll open up our Bible and read a few things that actually happened on location at this site, this one site that I'm using today in this episode as a way to illustrate the fact that we indeed can retrace Jesus throughout Israel. That site that we're going to visit today is the site of Capernaum, Capernaum, as we would pronounce it. So let's go to that site, and whether you're watching this as a video podcast on our YouTube channel or simply listening in, if you are doing the latter, I certainly invite you to visit our website where I will post the same PDF that I'm sharing in this video format for our viewers today. This is podcast number 44, and let's just go to Capernaum. Located on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, there it is in front of us. This is from one of my drone aerial footage, a photo that really records a beautiful scene here in Israel on the northwest corner of the lake. Now, we talked about in the last few episodes, if you happen to join us, how archaeology can illuminate what we understand and know about the Bible. It supplements certainly what we know. It confirms the historicity of the Bible, and it can even correct us when we perhaps are misinterpreting God's word because we don't know anything about what happened at the time that the story took place. So we are going to Capernaum. In fact, underneath these mango groves, it looks like, and the agriculture of the area, I'm sure that you would find a lot of ancient ruins that date to the time of Jesus. But let's start here. This is a good classic view that captures some of what has been discovered by the Franciscan fathers primarily, maybe 50, 60, 70 years ago, give or take. First century ruins, the ones that you see in black, are actually basaltic stones, and they primarily are from the first century. In fact, we're looking into a courtyard here, it looks like, and into a house with a dividing wall that looks like windows for us, but behind here is another room. Here's another room. Here's another house with a room and a courtyard that we'll see in detail a little later. These are, I should say, ruins from the first century. Now, This structure here, that's made of white limestone, is a synagogue, actually built much later. In fact, this is what's left of most likely the late 4th, early 5th century synagogue, built, however, on the 1st century level. In fact, you can see the difference in elevation, if you will. These lower ruins that are black basaltic stones, house structures from the 1st century, and the 4th century synagogue built a little higher. But when we go into the synagogue, actually, like this, in this right corner that is not viewable at this point in this slide, you can actually see down about 10 or 12 feet where you can see the first century ruins of the synagogue that did indeed date to the time of Jesus. Now, this one is much later, centuries later, and it faces south towards Jerusalem, like most synagogues did date to from this Talmudic Byzantine period. But Jesus was certainly familiar with this city. In fact, we can actually answer one of those questions. Can we walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Indeed, we can. In fact, who knows if Jesus visited these specific houses and if he knew the specific people, the individuals who lived in these houses. But when we turn in our Bibles to, for instance, Mark chapter 1, Mark 2, Luke 7, John 6, Mark 9, these are some that come to mind when we think of Capernaum, and maybe even Luke 8, a story of two healings there, Jairus' daughter and the woman who had a bleeding issue for 12 years. Well, we're not specifically told that that happened in Capernaum, but it's most likely those events did happen here. But what I want to at least read, and I probably will do another episode on other stories that relate to Jesus here, but just to give you a good illustration of how we can take our Bibles to site like Capernaum and read what happened. They came to Capernaum, and when Shabbat came, Jesus went into the synagogue. Well, again, it's not this particular synagogue at this 4th century level, but it's the one below it at the 1st century level. And to understand that people were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." And the impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. And all the people were amazed, and they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits who obey him." So this is a good example of where we can go to a site in Israel, Capernaum specifically, and read literally what Jesus did here at this particular site. Now, when we return to this courtyard, we notice a few things. Again, this open courtyard that may have been converted into a room of a house when, for instance, a boy would be married. He would actually extend his father's house, enlarge it, if you will, and live in the same house with his father and mother, but in a separate room with his new bride. Maybe this courtyard would have been elsewhere converted into maybe the extension of the house, but archaeologically, this seems to be an open courtyard with a millstone, for instance. In fact, this top of the millstone, if you're looking at this video podcast and joining me with that format, or even if you're listening and viewing the PDF that I have posted on our website of the same picture, this particular part of the millstone would be placed on this pointed stone. And as you would put wheat into this, the top opening of the stone, it would actually, when you turn this on this pointed stone, it would crush the wheat into grain. So this is a good illustration of a millstone here at Capernaum. On the other side of this wall, however, are other first century ruins, and some actually believe that maybe Peter's mother-in-law was healed there. We read that story right after this Mark 1 story where Jesus leaves the synagogue and goes directly to Peter's house. Now, that's up in the air and it can't be verified, but there's maybe a good reason to believe, based on some of the graffiti and some of the second century texts and words of the of those who lived here, perhaps that it was indeed Peter's house where that story took place, and we can walk in Jesus' footsteps there and retrace the healing of his mother-in-law. Again, it's behind this particular wall where today that particular square, small square and very modest house structure, believed to be perhaps Peter's house, is now surrounded by a Byzantine church. So we can go to Capernaum and actually read stories about what Jesus did here. I find it fascinating also that just to the south of Capernaum, at a place called Naaf Ginnesar today, a boat was found in 1986 by two brothers, actually. And this boat was indeed dated to the first century. Now, this was stuck in the mud, and it was discovered when the water level was low in the lake. But for instance, when we talk about what happened at Capernaum, this is where Jesus would call his first disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and even Matthew or Levi, the tax collector. But just to picture Jesus in a boat like this, in fact, there's two other stories that perhaps we can talk about in another episode, the storm narratives, but look at how modest this boat was. It was actually repaired with using 12 different types of wood, and that maybe signifies to us that this was repaired with any particular piece of wood that they could find. But here along the shoreline is where we could read Matthew 4, or the parallel passages where Jesus calls his first disciples, who were incidentally fishermen using boats like that. So we talk about how we can literally walk in the footsteps of Jesus. We can read stories about the life and ministry of Jesus, and certainly enjoy, sorry about this technology problem, in terms of how we can enjoy retracing and literally reading the text of the Gospels, specifically here at Capernaum and all that Jesus did here. It might be helpful also to go back to a passage in John chapter 6. In fact, as we see this synagogue, in fact, I'll just go back one more slide so we can see the synagogue at a different perspective. But for instance, John chapter 6, and let me find this passage for us. Jesus healed, fed the 5,000 on the northwest corner, maybe even the northeast corner of the lake, depending on where we place the feeding of the 5,000. It was in the vicinity of a city called Bethsaida. Some would suggest that the Jordan River, as it flows today, sort of on the northwest corner, perhaps it took a different route from the north and flowed into the lake further east. That's a detailed question that doesn't need to be answered here, but let's just say safely on the north end of the lake in the vicinity of Bethsaida is where Jesus just fed 5,000 people. He'd been healing people, incidentally, all over this area. But when Jesus returns to Capernaum, it's interesting that he goes into the synagogue and says this, He's speaking about bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Jesus is talking, of course, metaphorically about himself as the living bread. Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. And Jesus said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. So when we visit a site like this, we can literally read this passage, and this other one, specifically, that references the synagogue as well, and I'll find it here in Luke chapter 7. When Jesus had finished saying all of this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There, a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him. Listen to this. This man deserves to have you do this because he loves our nation and he has built our synagogue. So Jesus went with them. That's remarkable to me that this even references the builder of this synagogue. And again, we're talking about the one at this lower basaltic stone level and not the later white limestone layer or level. So we certainly can visit a site like Capernaum and literally walk in Jesus' footsteps. The Gospels are historically accurate, and the authors of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they indeed preserve what Jesus did in these cities. Now, John also, one of the other Gospels, the first three are the Synoptic Gospels. John actually is the one who gives us a theological overview of who Jesus was and still is, of course. But most of John was written with Jesus in Jerusalem. So certainly in further episodes, we'll retrace the footsteps of Jesus as well there. But remember, archaeology can confirm the biblical record. And here in this case, I think it really does. So we read these passages about Jesus, and we can literally see it happening at sites like Capernaum. In fact, the image there behind me is an aerial view of that synagogue, maybe one more perspectives, an aerial perspective of the white synagogue, but also knowing below this 5th century, late 4th century synagogue is or was, I should say, the synagogue where Jesus was healing, teaching, and serving people here at this site. So we end this episode with maybe a final thought or two based on what we can read about Jesus and the sites that we can go to still in Israel that preserve the ministry of Jesus. Maybe another thing to add would be to ask ourselves the question, why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus teach here? Why did he allow the residents of Capernaum to get to know him, to see him? Why was this the home base for his ministry here in the Galilee? Well, all of those questions are related, but certainly the redemptive purpose of Jesus' coming can be seen here because he was all about teaching the Malchut Shemaim, the kingdom of heaven, wherever he went. And I would truly believe that here at Capernaum, the residents of this town, maybe there were, some suggest up to 1,500 people who lived here. We can't be sure because only a small section of the site has been excavated. But no doubt that we can conclude that Jesus taught about the kingdom, because just over a few hills, perhaps, is where Jesus taught about the kingdom. We read about that in Matthew chapter 5. But we also can read from Mark 1, when Jesus says, "Repent, believe the good news, for the kingdom of God has come near." He probably said that here. The people listening to him in the synagogue probably heard some kind of teaching about the kingdom now coming. And in fact, when Jesus taught about the kingdom, it would have been understood as the reign and rule of God in people's lives. So we indeed can retrace Jesus here and appreciate all of these passages and perhaps more that doesn't reference Capernaum by name. But I would have to think that he would be in and out of this town. He would go to the countryside. He would teach in, as Josephus tells us, there were over 200 towns and villages in the Galilee, and Capernaum and Bethsaida and Chorazin and Cana or Cana, they were just a few of the 200 plus towns and villages. And Jesus indeed did serve the people here in the north. But at Capernaum, we do remember how Jesus taught with authority, he healed with authority, and no doubt shared the kingdom news about how God now has brought the kingdom through his Son, who now in human form, God incarnate, would now go around the Galilee, Jerusalem, and even in Samaria, on some occasions would teach about the kingdom of God now being present in a spiritual way. Now, the residents of Capernaum, can I also say this before we conclude, perhaps we're looking for a different type of Messiah, looking for someone who would deliver them from the Romans and their oppression. But Jesus indeed did not come for that purpose, but he came for a spiritual purpose, the spiritual purpose of bringing the kingdom and the redemption that is associated with the kingdom. And of course, Jesus would later, at the end of his ministry, go to Jerusalem. He would be willing, even obedient unto the cross, as Paul would say. He would be hung on a cross, and he would take the sins of the world, the sins of you and me, upon himself, and 3 days later, rise again, defeating death and sin once and for all. So as we retrace Jesus in this episode, and certainly in future episodes that we'll do the same thing, we'll see Jesus in Jerusalem and other sites, just keep in mind that Jesus came with a redemptive purpose. And that redemptive purpose, of course, is a purpose that affects us and can be applied to us as well when we receive him as our Savior, as our Messiah, and as we turn, if you will, from our own inability of saving ourselves, and as we cast our care upon him, knowing that he cares for us, even going to the cross ultimately in Jerusalem to save us from our sin. That's great news. In fact, the Gospels call it good news. Paul calls it good news. And that indeed is the news for the day as we have retraced Jesus here at Capernaum and can appreciate all that he has done for us in the past and all that he still does for us in the present and as we await his return in the future. In the meantime, we live by faith in the one who literally walked here at this Galilean city. Thanks for joining us for this episode, and until next time, Shalom.
Thank you for joining us for this program. We hope it was enlightening and inspiring. If you have questions, you can email Dr. John DeLancey at drjohn@biblicalisraeltours.com. We invite you to visit our website, biblicalisraeltours.com, where we have resources about Israel and the Bible, select images from today's program, along with links to our YouTube channel featuring on-location teaching videos from the land of Israel. Additionally, our site also has information about upcoming trips throughout Israel and other biblical lands. A tour of the Holy Land will transform the way you read and understand the Bible, as it has for thousands of others. Until next time, thanks for listening, and Shalom.